Would you all introduce yourselves, please?
Hi, I'm Kathy Foster from The Thermals.
I'm Hutch Harris from The Thermals.
Hey, and I'm Weston Glass from The Thermals.
When I saw you at South by Southwest, one of those many exciting shows you did, which we'll get to, back then in March, the album wasn't even out.
I always think, like, the festivals are great because you're playing to a lot of people that have never heard you before. And I always think if you have a choice of, like, to either people find you by record or find you by a live show, a lot of times it's really fun for people to hear you for the first time live because it's really exciting and there's a lot of energy. So, yeah, it's really cool for us.
But it was also cool. I felt like we had a lot of fans there, too, and people that knew a couple of the new songs already. Because we had been posting them on our MySpace, and I think it got leaked before that. But so it was just cool to see people into the new songs already.
So you've lived in Portland for like a decade, but you're not originally from there, right? There's Bay Area.
Kathy and I are from Bay Area. We grew up in San Jose, Sunnyvale, Campbell, Mountain View, a lot of different suburbs of San Jose, etc. Kathy and I had both been to Portland when we were young, you know, we were 20 or so or 19, and just knew the two reasons, and that's why people keep moving to Portland. It's a cheap place to live. It's really artistic. There's a good artistic community. There's a lot of music, the music scene, and we've just seen the music scene just grow and grow since we've been there. So those two reasons make it a really good place to live.
So take me through your own weird version of revisionist history, because I don't want that you started as a small child thing, but this band is still very much paying its dues.
Oh yeah.
After 7 years. But take me all the way back to you and Kathy in high school. You know, give me something that's a little more, because that'll give you 16 years worth of fodder. So there's gotta be
old. Yeah. I feel old. We met just after high school. We were probably both 18.
Yeah. We were both playing in bands. We were just in the same local music scene. We had a good scene going in Sunnyvale, Cupertino, San Jose. Just tons of bands and people always putting on shows and like the Cupertino Library community room and pizza places and vets halls and just all kinds of places. And so I think the first time we met, our bands were playing together at the Cupertino Library. It was my first band called Pistol and one of Hutch's first bands called Bunch of Losers. And his band was playing in between the bands in the closet of the community room where they stored the chairs. And they were playing on their knees like Dorf.
Yeah, we were doing the Dorf trick. We pull your pants up to your knees and then get down on your knees and sit on your shoes and pull your arms into your t-shirt and then play a rock show.
It was awesome.
We were really cool.
And then as soon as the next band was ready to go, the doors would close.
Yeah, it was the closet in the library community room where they stored all the chairs. That was my debut.
And then we just were in that scene. We'd had like a lot of mutual friends. And then there was like a punk house in Sunnyvale where
the closet in the community library,
yeah.
Scene.
Mm-hmm, totally.
Yes. I've heard of that one.
Yeah, yeah. Solid day.
That's been written up in Rolling Stone multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
Classic. But, yeah, we both had friends living at this punk house, and so we were just, like, acquaintances for a while, and then we played music together briefly. We were, like, 20. And then in 97, we started a band together. And became really good friends and then went on tour for a couple weeks with a band from Maine. Ended up living with them in Maine for 9 or 10 months and then decided to move to Portland, Oregon.
Were you in Portland, Maine?
Yeah.
So you went from Portland, Maine to Portland, Oregon.
Yep.
Nice one. Okay, let's get it over with. No matter what word you want to use, I've made up a new genre for you. Let's call it gunk.
I don't know if you know, we create new genres on a daily basis.
I have no doubt you do. You don't look like you sound. There's no massive jewelry through noses. There are not tattoos end to end.
No.
You don't have the mohawks.
Like
you don't have
that?
The studs.
No.
As they say on that, you know, on the that internet thing, WTF. But there's not a real clunker on this new record.
Thank you.
Awesome.
They're songs and they're poppy and yes, they also rock. And isn't that just in the end good enough?
It is
for us. Not for a lot of people who want to
label it.
I thought that was over with in the 90s.
I mean, what about power pop? How do you feel about power pop?
I am the king of power pop.
Okay, we want to be power pop.
I've got a channel that you can listen to with 2,700 songs. That's the Archies next to the Stones. I say this about 80% of the interviews and that word comes. Do you know who coined the term power pop?
No. I don't.
This is true. Get ready. Pete Townsend.
Really?
He said that The Who's music was powerful and poppy. So it's funny because people talk about power pop, and I've had Nick Lowe and Dave Edmonds. I've been with the Kings, the Rubinus, all these power, you know, the kings of power pop.
Mm-hmm.
And all power pop is, again, is the reason it's good songwriting. It's like, oh, you can understand the lyrics, and it's melodic, and oh, there's harmonies there. Oh, and the drummer can drum. What a concept.
That's what I always thought. You know? It was just good melodies and, you know, distorted guitar and loud drums.
But doesn't that drive your fans, the old fans, crazy that, you know, that you went from this, you know, not that you've disappointed them, but, oh my gosh, you decided to make an even more, you know, just a bunch of fun songs with still heavy-duty lyrics, obviously.
I'm sure there's some people, you know, people love to complain, so some people are always going to be disappointed, but I think it would be disappointing if you just stayed exactly the same and made the same record over and over, too. So, you know, people are free to be disappointed. Go ahead. we're a band that's like, if it's first about us being happy with what we're doing, and then if other people like it, you know, that's great. But we have to, you know, feel good and enjoy what we're doing.
Definitely.
Most good bands, that's what they do. They don't sit there and go, oh, what will the fans think?
Yeah, I know. Like a lot of art forms work that way. Just, you know, people...
Yeah, Andy Warhol sitting there saying, I wonder if anybody will like a soup can. Let me think about it. Yeah. You know?
Well, if you work that way, it's going to be, I don't think you're going to produce anything that good or lasting if you're just trying to make something that people like.
That said, there is a really good machine behind you. And I don't mean the word machine in a bad way.
No.
But I received this album from not one, not two, not three, but 3 million different promo firms. But the machine for a band these days is a good thing, right? I mean, you're not out to just say, oh, we're an indie band. You want to get the music out there, right?
Well, we are still an indie band, but yeah.
Whatever that term means.
I think
it's important to get the music out there, and then if it's good music, people will like it, you know. But I want as many people to hear it as possible.
Yeah, we're not afraid of the machine.
That's a great t-shirt. You need a t-shirt that's your new tour shirt. We're not afraid of the machine, and then thermals. I think that's it. One of the things that I did read, one of you said somewhere, is that the one thing you are a little fervent about and don't think it's all that groovy is giving up the music for commercial use or syncs and all of that, that you want to have a little taste level there, and that necessarily having 15 seconds of Now We Can See playing, you know, behind Gossip Girl might not be your number one goal in life.
It's not a goal. For those things, we just take it on a case-by-case basis. Now We Can See was in Chuck recently. That was something we didn't have a problem with. One, you know, we were famous for turning down a Hummer ad, and that was something we felt good about not doing. So, yeah, I mean, it just comes down to how we feel personally about where we want the music to go.
You recorded the new album. You did analog 2-inch 24 track, just like we got here in this here studio in the back room there. And you did Oregon and then Dallas. So tell me something I don't know. Coggleton approached you, right, to produce the record. He was into the band.
Yeah.
And I read that you actually did get along well. So did you bring him demos first? How did the whole process work?
We did, yeah. He and I communicated a lot before. This was the most like pre-production that we ever did on a record, like demos for every single song, really fleshed out, a lot of communication back and forth between me and John, like sending him the demos so he could kind of get an idea for each song of how he wanted to produce and mix it. And then we got along really well.
Yeah, it was super fun. It was just the three of us in the studio. He's super laid back and funny and sweet. So we had a good time with him.
Yeah, and you always have found yourself with good producers.
And they're all in good bands is the thing. So John's band is the Paper Chase, also on Kill Rock Stars. Brendan Canty from Fugazi produced Epic. The previous record. So yeah, I mean, that was like a dream come true for us to work with him. Fugazi was just massive for us growing up. And then Chris Walla from Death Cab for Cutie, Death Cab for Cutie had a big hand in our early career. Like Ben Gibbard gave our demos to Sub Pop, and then Chris mixed our first record, and then he produced the whole second record. And it was a joy to work with him, too. He was just amazing and positive. So all three of those guys, like, all in great bands.
And just super great people to work with.
Yeah, yeah,
really good
totally.
Taste,
yeah, I feel like
obviously.
We've been really lucky, and I feel like we've just made really good choices in who we've worked with for as far as producers.
So the other thing that's interesting about this band to me, and I'm just going to use a reference, which is that at least half of my hearing loss is due to my first Ramones concert back in 1977.
Awesome.
I remember exactly. Yeah, well, front row, no earplugs. Not a brilliant thing to do for 30 minutes. But what I see, and I'm not doing comparison, but what I see in this band is back to the power pop thing. The Ramones, they rocked. The songs were short. You know, there were no 6-minute epics.
Yeah.
They were about something. There was actually, and most of them were actually in the first person, which your songs very much so are written in the we did this, not the they
totally,
did this.
Totally.
But the other thing is that for them it was about being produced incredibly, having fun, playing the music well.
Yeah.
And that's all they really were setting out to do. And that's kind of what I see here.
That's, yeah. When I wrote that first record, I was really thinking of the Ramones and Guided by Voices as the main two influences. And the whole Johnny Ramone thing was, you know, a rock and roll band that really didn't have any blues influence at all. Just had an influence more in like the 50s and 60s, like pop hits. So just super melodic, but not the kind of like rock and roll that we think of as having like the blues influence.
Because nobody needs more of that.
Well, not that that's a bad thing.
But
we love the Stones, and like, you know, there's a lot of great bands that do, but that's just not where our tastes go naturally.
Right, yeah.
So I've created this thing that I've done with, I think I've done with 250 something. I think it's 253 bands.
Nice.
It's called a musical sandwich. It's two of your songs is the bread.
Okay.
And songs by other bands in between. Now, what I'm going to do here is you did your three songs, so we're going to do a club. So you don't have to pick your songs because you've already picked your songs.